Good morning. Welcome to Health Essentials. You're on the radio station, 90.3 FM KBJS. All right, it's a brand new year, and the clock is ticking. I tell you, folks, I am completely amazed how quickly 2015 has come and gone. It's just amazing. Maybe you're not like me. Maybe time has gone by so slow you thought I thought 2015 would never end. But for me, it has gone by very fast. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you? All right. Can you hear me? Okay. I thought I had all the buttons pushed right. One more time. No, that's not it. Okay. Anyway. No, sorry about that. I think the button jammed on the phone. Anyway, if you're on the phone, I'll let you hang up and we'll try it again. Sound good? All right, I've got some information I want to share with you this morning, and I tell you, folks, when you hear what I'm about to tell you, I don't know if you're going to flip over in your seat and go, wow, I never heard that before. But this is very, very impressive. If you know, my father-in-law is a dentist. I really don't know how long he's practiced dentistry, but it's been a long time. As in a real long time. But one of the things I noticed was a long time ago, I went to see him when he was in Henderson, Texas. And before he did work on one of my teeth, or work on a rear tooth, a molar, he applied what's called clove oil. I don't even know if a lot of the newer dentists even use clove oil. But yeah, you could say it's old school. Now, where does clove oil come from? Well, obviously it comes from the clove tree, or the whatever tree in Indonesia that produces these clove buds. But it's a very pungent, strong oil. Well, sometimes I'm a little bit slow on the uptake, and it doesn't always pique my interest or curiosity like it should, but I've noticed that my wife has some essential oils up in the cabinet, and one of them, I look at the price tag on it, and don't laugh, it's like $3.62. It's a bottle of clove oil. Well, some of this information that I'm going to share with you this morning, I got from Bill Sardi. Actually, the vast majority of it comes from Bill Sardi, so I want to give credit to whom credit's due. But I want to share this with you. This is very, very interesting. You know, when we live in modern times where a pharmacologist would have you believe that the only solution for any problem that a person might have is going to be from a synthetically derived or synthetically created pharmacological medication. I mean, it's just the way it is. And thus, they have a huge price tag. Do you remember me saying the bottle of clove oil in the kitchen cabinet is $3 and change? What if I told you there was a drug that the Food and Drug Administration had just approved? And this drug was able to replace over-the-counter pain-relieving medications safer or equally as good as synthetically created chemicals, but it wasn't really as toxic or had any toxicity. But it could be effective as a topical anesthetic if somebody had chronic nerve pain. Is that a problem today? Oh, my word, yes. What if there was a over-the-counter medication that was just released on the market that could reduce fever and had anti-inflammatory effects, even showed benefits as an antidepressant, had antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal properties. But it's also known as the king of antioxidants. You think the Food and Drug Administration would be jumping up and down to support whatever drug company released that? Well, no, they're not. As a matter of fact, it's quite the opposite. So enter the conversation today, which I know this is the first Saturday of the year, but we get to wipe the slate clean, make a fresh start. You get to take the information I'm about to give to you and decide what you're going to do with it. I'm voting that you use it wisely. Well, just like I mentioned earlier, that my father-in-law is a dentist. One of the least things that we might be doing with clove oil is brushing our teeth with it. Why? Because it's been shown to kill off the acid-forming bacteria, which is called Streptococcus mutans, and that is what causes tooth decay. Did you know that, folks? It comes from the Asian Pacific Journal of Tropical Medicine, 2011. Kind of impressive. And like I told you, dentists throughout the ages have used clove oil as an anesthetic until synthetic chemicals, like benzocaine, served as its replacement. Well, how about this? There's a published study that shows that clove oil relieves dental pain as effectively as benzocaine. You can apply it to a painful tooth or gums with a cotton tip applicator. It's called a Q-tip. In any emergency you might have. That comes from the Journal of Dentistry, the year 2006. Doesn't it sound like that might be a good remedy to have in your cabinet? Sadly, the Food and Drug Administration has downgraded clove oil and the active ingredient. How do I pronounce that? Eugenol? It's spelled E-U-G-N-O-L. We'll call it Eugenol. So the Food and Drug Administration doesn't really think it's effective for toothache pain, even though dentists have used it for decades. That comes from Medicine Plus. Well, this next one caught my attention also. There is a drug that erases a person's memory. It's called scopolamine. I hope I pronounced that correctly. And when they give scopolamine to mice, there's one substance or an antidote they can give to mice that completely reverses memory loss caused by the drug. And guess what it is? Clove oil. Now, I can't confirm this yet because I haven't been able to look it up, but there's a reference to individuals having fading memory or poor memory, short-term recalls going by the wayside. They probably look in the mirror and say to themselves, are you developing dementia? Well, in this one remedy, it was giving a half a teaspoon of clove oil, but I'm going to withhold that until I look into it a little bit more. There was a journal article from Brain Research of the year 2004. Guess what they used as an antidepressant that was comparable to antidepressant drugs, I mean pharmaceuticals, given by prescription? Lo and behold, it was clove oil. From the Journal of Traditional Chinese Medicine, 2013, they showed that eugenol, which is clove oil, is found to increase learning and memory ability in laboratory animals. I would think we'd be jumping up and down about that. That's from the year 2013. Eugenol, or the clove oil, has been shown to reduce adrenal stress hormones, such as norepinephrine. And it's considered a therapeutic agent for stress-related mental disorders. That comes from the journal Stress, 2011. Now, some points I always find very interesting. So, just take this for what it's worth. When we're under severe emotional stress, sometimes in my case it might be self-induced, meaning I know for a fact I have stressed myself over something that I thought would happen, but it never did happen. Well, one of the mechanisms when your body increases norepinephrine production because you're under sudden or severe stress, it releases iron from binding proteins, which could trigger or be a big-time trigger for a heart attack. Listen to this right here. Emotional upset is the most common trigger of arterial plaque ruptures in coronary arteries. Did you get what I said right there? The number one trigger to cause plaque to be released from the coronary vessels, thus leading to an embolism or maybe a stroke, was emotional upset. You can't tell me that stress is not significant. That comes from the journal Natural Medicine Journal, 2014. And of course, by virtue of a clove oil's ability to decrease stress hormones such as norepinephrine, well, for all we know, it may serve to prevent heart attacks. Okay. Another topic. Boy, I've got a lot right here. I hope you like this information. I think it's fabulous. I am always completely enamored by old school remedies that are very inexpensive. Did I mention the bottle that my wife bought was $3 and change? How can you get something cheaper than that? You can't. It doesn't really take a person that scans the internet all day long looking for news stories to figure out that there are more and more people that succumb to antibiotic-resistant infections. Whether you have a loved one in a nursing home facility, if you have someone in a rehab hospital that you love, like your husband or your wife or a child, and the antibiotics don't really seem to be getting rid of the infection, or an abscess forms and they have a hard time getting rid of it, or if someone has infection occur where they go to the wound care center for like a whole year, but they just can't seem to lick it, they can't get over it, well, you might want to pay attention to this information. Let me see if I can find the reference here. Oh, yes, here we go. Okay. Among four different spices found by the University of Cornell scientists to kill off virtually every known bacterium, the number one was shown to be clove. Now, I didn't read the article, but I'm pretty sure we're going to find that garlic is in there. Probably going to find that oregano is in there. Probably going to find that the herb thyme or thyme is in there also. But the king of those was a clove. And that came from the Review Biology, 1998. And of course, from 1998 to 2016, what is that, 18 years, give or take? Let's say 17 years, since this is only the second day of 2016. Well, 17 years, you would think that everyone and their uncle would have clove oil handy to use. I'm just thinking we should do like the dentist used to recommend. Put a drop of clove oil on your toothbrush because it kills the very bacteria that causes your enamel to erode in the first place, or tooth decay. Interesting. As a matter of fact, clove extract shows better kill-off of candida than nystatin, which is a prescription drug. It's actually a very popular drug that's used to quell or kill off yeast infections. That comes from the Journal of Mycology Medicine, 2014. I would say that's a very recent study. In another study, clove oil, or eugenol, was found more potent at killing Helicobacter pylori than the antibiotic amoxicillin was. Have you ever heard of amoxicillin? It's got to be, hands down, one of the most common antibiotics prescribed, but the clove oil doesn't induce antibiotic resistance. See, the germs don't become resistant to the clove oil, but they sure do to the amoxicillin, at least so says the Annals of Clinical Microbiology and Antimicrobials. It's the year 2005. Now, this I liked right here. Let's just say somebody starts to come down with a sore throat. A few drops of clove oil added to water for gargling is appropriate because it kills the bacterium that causes sore throat, which is called Streptococcus pyogenes. That's also a pus-forming bacteria, correct? Recognize that we live in an era where synthetic antibiotics are becoming more useless against resistant forms of bacteria. While microbiologists desperately seek out new molecules to fight resistant germs, clove oil works against all bacteria without inducing any resistance. Take, for example, the form of bacteria I just mentioned, Streptococcus. You've heard of somebody having strep throat. Well, strep is a type of toxic bacteria. Not only does it colonize the mucous tissues in the nose, the throat, the oral cavity, as well as the lungs, skin, and the gastric tract, Streptococcus, they also take hold in the tissues. It can cause serious problems such as endocarditis, which is inflammation of the heart. You didn't know those little germs love to eat the heart muscle, did you? Or even the valves. It's also been linked with meningitis and the flesh-eating infection called necrotizing fasciitis. If you've ever heard of a person having a skin infection that will not go away and it's spreading up the arm or the leg, you can bet your bottom dollar that's a form of strep. Other bacteria such as Clostridium, Staphylococcus, that's staph infection, or Klebsiella, all of them succumb to clove oil. Isn't that interesting? So maybe one of the suggestions this morning is you're probably asking yourself, well, could this actually prevent the toxic buildup of germs? Yes. I mean, we've got to get rid of the idea that you've got to wait till you have a full-blown case of double pneumonia before we take action. What if something as simple as clove oil might prove to be extremely useful at preventing the toxic buildup of germs in the first place, keeping them at bay, preventing them from dividing and colonizing and overgrowing? All right, how about this right here? You're probably saying to me, I just can't hear you right now, you're telling me that bacteria issues are not your problem, it's viral issues that are your problem. Well, all right. I think what a lady asked me this week, that she tested positive for the Epstein-Barr virus. Well, I said yes, and about 80% of the population has also been tested. There's a family of a virus that's called the herpes. Have you heard of someone having cold sores? Well, and there's other versions of the herpes infections also that aren't very, they're not really pleasant to talk about on the radio, because if you look them up, you'll see some horrible, horrific pictures. And believe me, you don't want to you don't want your body to be a breeding ground for lots of the herpes virus. You just don't. Well, the eugenol, or the clove oil, it's been shown to have extremely strong antiviral activity against herpes simplex. And they've even shown it when they test it with drugs that it works synergistically with antiviral drugs. That comes from Phytotherapy Research, the year 2000. Now, to me, this is interesting. You know, this time of year, even as I drove to the radio station this morning, I think I tuned into one station, they were talking about one of the very best things that you can do right now, if you have not so done, is to go get a flu vaccine or a flu shot. Okay. Really? Well, I've already covered that topic about 1,000 times. No need to cover it one more time. I'll say this, though. If the flu vaccine is proven to be effective, I'd like to see one study demonstrating that. And if it weren't so doggone toxic, if I could demonstrate that it helps people without causing negative deleterious side effects to a person's immune system, I would be on board with it. I'm not just arbitrarily negative against drugs. A lot of the drugs can be very, very useful. But wouldn't it be nice if we could find a way to restore the proper function or the good working order of your body and help your immune system function better on its own without requiring drugs? You probably don't realize this, but some of the most expensive drugs of all time are antiviral drugs. If somebody has hepatitis C and they take a course of antiviral, I've heard of them telling me it costs $250,000. Anyway. Okay, here it is right here. Among 86 different herbs screened for anti-influenza properties, that's anything that would work to help your body remove the influenza or the flu from your system. But guess what was shown to be the most active and the most successful? Well, you guessed it. It was the eugenol, which is the active ingredient of clove oil, was found to be the most active. It came from a journal in 2013. Now, this next one, you're probably not going to believe me, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. What if these issues aren't yours? What if you have chronic pain somewhere? You know, quite often, a doctor is going to recommend that you take a prescription drug to relieve pain, which doesn't take long to figure out there's lots of people, even in Jacksonville, Texas, and East Texas, and Tyler, and Longview, that have significant drug issues with pain-relieving medications. I asked a lady the other day, what is this business next door to yours? And she said, It's a clinic. Of course, it doesn't have a big sign out front. It's very, very small print. You can't really see it unless you know what you're looking for. It's either that or I don't have eyes like a hawk. But when I've driven by it, I'm going, well, that's a new business there. What is that? So when I asked the lady, it's specifically for people that are addicted to a pain-relieving medication, and they're trying to wean them off of them. You may not know this, but even a baby aspirin a day has been shown to cause somewhere between a half a teaspoon and in some people, upwards to maybe a tablespoon and a half of blood loss. It just makes you leak. It causes gastric ulcers. Well, that's not a good thing. Some people take aspirin. It causes massive brain hemorrhages. And, of course, the only way that a person might know that is when they have a massive brain hemorrhage. You ever heard of taking ibuprofen? Well, it has side effects also. Ibuprofen, as a general rule, has a very negative effect on a person's kidneys. Well, what if a person doesn't have two kidneys that are healthy? What if they have one kidney, and maybe that one kidney is not in the very best shape that it could be? I don't know. I'm trying to think. How many people do I know that just have one kidney? Oh, about 20 right now. So ibuprofen to relieve pain may not be the best strategy. Well, you say, well, what about acetaminophen or Tylenol? Well, my word, that drug right there has been shown to be extremely toxic to one's liver. Or it definitely affects how your liver keeps you in good working order and detoxifies you. So maybe those aren't good. Listen to this right here. Clove oil is reported to relieve chronic nerve pain following repeated use. Did you catch that? Nerve pain. What if that's called a neuropathy? Maybe you don't have nerve pain, but what if you know somebody that's just miserable currently and they can't carry on a normal life because they have severe pain in their legs and feet? That could be called neuropathy. That comes from the European Journal of Pharmacology, the year 2007. You're saying, well, I like the way that morphine... Well, yeah, morphine has side effects also. How would you like to be so constipated that you can never have another bowel movement again without strong laxatives? Yeah, that's not a solution. It doesn't really fix anything. The clove oil stacked up well against the tried-and-true pain relievers such as Tylenol, aspirin, and ibuprofen, and the anti-inflammatory drugs, even reducing fever, almost are on par with acetaminophen. That means it's very, very effective. And that's got to be true because that comes from the Libyan Journal of Medicine, 2015. It doesn't say whether or not that came from Benghazi, Libya, or not, so I'm not worried about that. It also goes on to say that clove oil is not a liver toxin like is acetaminophen. As a matter of fact, the eugenol from clove oil protects the liver. That comes from the Journal of Cancer Prevention, 2014. Isn't it amazing the research that we have, folks? Eugenol has also been shown, which is clove oil, to inhibit rheumatoid arthritis in animal experiments. I'm not for torturing animals, folks. I hate it. But, you know, using a mouse to test drugs to inhibit rheumatoid arthritis to cure it are a lot better than testing on humans, which sometimes I wonder when people come into my office with 15 different drugs, I wonder if they're the guinea pigs. It says that eugenol, or the clove oil, has no damaging effects upon the gastric mucosa, that's your stomach lining, like aspirin and ibuprofen do. That comes from food chemistry toxicology. And the reason why they're studying is they want to find something they can add to food that will keep it fresh and free from infection. This I find interesting. This comes from Natural Product Research, 2009. Now, maybe you don't have an autoimmune disease such as rheumatoid arthritis, or lupus, or Sjogren's syndrome, or myasthenia gravis, or Crohn's disease, or any number of autoimmune celiac. There's a bunch of autoimmune diseases. And there may not be anybody in your family that has an autoimmune disease, but it's highly likely you go to church with somebody that has an autoimmune disease, or you work with someone that has an autoimmune disease, well, it's not good to have your immune system lose its tolerance and become overactive where it starts to destroy your natural cells. Clove oil calms the immune response, and it may be useful as an anti-inflammatory agent. It comes from Natural Product Research 2009. I just can't get over this. This is good stuff. Eugenol, which is the primary active ingredient in clove oil, was only recently found to be as effective as Zofran. You know what Zofran is? Well, if you do, then it's because you or someone you love has cancer. Well, Zofran is a drug that's used to calm nausea and vomiting that's caused by cancer drugs. Now, I haven't looked it up, but I would imagine the vast majority of all people that take these drugs, they have to get Zofran because they're so toxic. Good morning. Welcome to the phone line. Can you hear me? Okay, what am I doing wrong here? Let me try it one more time. Well, as far as I know, I have all the buttons pushed. Nope, that's it right there. Well, for whatever reason, there's a button that's not pushed right. Let's do this one. Now, can you hear me? Taking that one off. Okay, I can see you on the phone line here. It's lit up, but I can't hear. Okay. How about now? Can you hear me now? Nope, I'm not getting anything. Sorry about that. Okay, for the phone, turn on program, audio, and mono. Try those one more time. All right, how about now? Now can you hear me? Sorry about that. Well, as far as I know, can you hear me now?
Okay, I can hear you.
Oh, fine. Well, thank you. It was the phone button that was pushed wrong now. Oh, good. Well, I am really, really tickled to be with you today. How can I help?
How do you take the clove oil? How do you get it? Is it in a pill? Is it in a...
You're listening to me in the background, aren't you?
I don't know what's going on.
I don't either. What is the deal with the radio station?
My radio's off now.
Okay, good. No, thank you very much. That took care of it. Now, repeat your question. I'm sorry. I was distracted.
How do you get the clove oil? Is it a pill or is it a juice or is it a...
Yes. Well, it's all those things. If you went to the health food store and say, I'd like a bottle of clove oil, it just comes in a little dropper bottle where you can add it to... You can put a drop on your toothbrush and brush your teeth with it. You can add to a mouthwash for its antiseptic effects. If it does come in the form of a capsule... That's probably going to be quite a bit more tolerable because I've tried it. It's pretty strong stuff. It has a very, very strong pungent aroma and flavor. So, if it comes in the form of a gel cap or a capsule or a tablet, that's probably how you're going to be looking at it.
Okay. And you listed a whole lot of things my granddaughter is supposed to have.
Well, what do you mean?
You know. How it came that you could buy it, clove oil.
Yeah, I think I mentioned earlier at the start of the program the bottle that I purchased. I think it was like, $3.80 maybe at the most.
Hmm.
So it's very interesting.
Yeah.
And I love this new research that's come out because it demonstrates that God's very creation works very, very good without the side effects.
That's true.
And it's very inexpensive. Even a person that had very little income could probably afford a bottle of clove oil, right?
Right.
That's good. Well, I wish your granddaughter the very best. I hope she makes a splendid recovery.
Oh, appreciate that.
No, you're welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Yes, you have a wonderful day, and I hope you have a blessed new year and everything goes great for you.
I do, too. You, too.
Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye. You'll have to forgive me. I think I have it solved now. Thank you for being very patient with me. I know somebody called earlier. But back to the Zofran. That's a drug that's given to people that have chemotherapy or prescribed chemotherapy, but they're just constantly nauseated and they're vomiting and they're sick as a dog and they begin to question, what am I going to do? Well, clove oil has been shown to quell some of the negative side effects of chemotherapy. Isn't that interesting? Good morning and welcome to the program. Okay, now you're on the air.
I just want to say, I love when you do that bit of information at the beginning. It actually answers some questions that I was going to call about, and I just love it. I sit there.
Oh, well, you're sure. So. You're welcome. That's just great. I love that. Thanks for your call.
Yes, sir. So I've got a question about remedies for menstrual cramps. What's your thoughts?
Well, can you give me a little bit more background information?
Okay.
Is it a 13-year-old girl?
No, 21, and I haven't always had these. It's just been lately.
Where do the cramps occur? Mainly in your lower back, or in the front, in the pelvic
area? In
the
front. Yes, sir. Lower front pelvic area.
There is a very, very simple herb, and it's given the name cramp bark. Have you ever heard of cramp bark?
I sure have not.
Well, it's easy to come by, and I'm just going to tell you, it's very, very effective. So there are several ways that a woman that experiences severe menstrual cramps could take it. Number one, she could just take it a 2 or 3 days prior to the start of her menstrual cycle. And for all we know, that may have a very, very proactive effect at setting or stopping it at the start.
Okay.
So you could take it that way. A lot of women take cramp bark when they start having cramps, and it's very, very effective at relieving them.
Okay.
And so you can take it almost any way that you desire. Another substance that I always have to think of is the mineral magnesium. And it's been a while since I've studied this topic, but when you look at the food and the United States Department of Agriculture nutritional surveys, it doesn't take long to figure out that the vast majority of all human beings living in the United States probably are not getting enough magnesium from the very food they eat. So sometimes magnesium is called the great relaxer, anything to help prevent cramps and spasms. So you could take a little bit of magnesium every day. And another thing that you could look at is just taking a little bit of black currant seed oil or evening primrose oil, and see if those remedies greatly help reduce the cramps. I'm certain they will.
Okay. Well, thank you. And while I've got you on the phone, my brother's hair is thinning. So he decided to grow his hair out like a madman and to cover up for that thinning hair. Do you have anything maybe to help his hair get thicker? And then he can cut his hair and look normal again.
Okay. Is your mother's father still alive?
No, sir.
Do you remember him?
No, sir.
Well, so you weren't in contact with your mother's father, right?
Mm-mm, no.
Well, if you look at any pictures that she may have in her possession, was he bald?
I can ask her, but I just remember having you know, real dark hair, but I don't know.
Well, I'm sorry for asking difficult questions, because there's a strong genetic relationship between the mother's father and the hair of her son.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, what you can do is you can take an anti-androgen called saw palmetto. And saw palmetto is going to act as an anti-androgen to prevent the conversion of testosterone into dihydrotestosterone. So he could try taking just a little bit of saw palmetto and see if it stops the hair loss.
Okay, daily?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It doesn't have to. How old is your brother?
He is 26.
Oh, he's just a kid. Well, if he does this now, it may completely stop or halt the progression of hair loss. So let me know how it works.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yes, thanks. I really appreciate your day. Have a good day.
Yes, sir. You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Boy, that girl sounds like she's got it all together for 21, doesn't she? Super smart. If you'd like to join me on the phone, the number is 903-586-5257. This program you're listening to is called Health Essentials. And I'd be more than tickled or happy to take your phone call. You know, it's a brand new year. We get to wipe the slate clean, start over, don't we? Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I have recently gotten arthritis in my hands, and I'm very motivated to do what I need to do, dietary, as well as I want to try this clove oil.
You can sure try it. And what they did in the study is they used it for arthritis pain,
mm-hmm.
but they just rubbed it directly on the area.
Mm-hmm.
And which the part that I never talked about this morning on the radio, I've got to think that maybe clove oil does something besides just relieve the pain in a kind of, a vague sort of way, like a number. But I think it may actually dissolve some of the debris that actually builds up in the joints that leads to arthritis. So you could always try that.
Okay. Anything else that you could tell me about arthritis? I mean, I like to give massages.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was I took some Arthrotec. I have problems with my knees as well. And the Arthrotec was really helping my knees.
Now, what is the Arthrotec?
It's a prescription medicine with an anti-inflammatory that actually has something in it that's supposed to protect your GI tract. But before I got it, I had been taking some Excedrin with aspirin in it, and I started having stomach pains. So I quit all that. Mm-hmm. I quit the Excedrin, and I quit the Arthrotec. And then all of a sudden, my hands were just unbelievable. Like, couldn't even close them all the way.
You know what I used to have access to about 30 years ago at the clinic? We had a paraffin bath.
Uh-huh.
And I have forgotten the formula, but I want to say it's 4 parts paraffin to 1 part mineral oil. It's almost like a big slow cooker is what it looks like. And if mm-hmm. I'm not mistaken, they heat it up to somewhere around, 124, 125, 126 degrees Fahrenheit. But this paraffin, it almost looks like a solution you'd find at Dairy Queen. You know, you dip the mm-hmm. ice cream. I'm joking about that.
No, I know what you're talking
but
about.
But you dip your hand in it and pull it out, and of course it's very warm. But you know, the thing that I haven't been able to explore, if I had a paraffin bath, I would probably add some different compounds to it, or I might even change the mineral oil or maybe change it up a little bit. But wouldn't that be interesting if we start adding things like, what if we added like a couple of drops of frankincense to it or boswellia? What if we added a couple drops of clove oil to the mineral oil, and that way the paraffin bath, as you keep dipping layers of hot wax on your hand, I guarantee you, once you peel the wax off or after a paraffin wax treatment on your hands will be as red as a beet.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be because of just tremendously increased blood flow, and that's one of the principles of arthritis. So I like vitamin K2 a whole lot.
Maybe 200 a day?
Well, you mean on the dose?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's called minoquinone 4 and minoquinone 7, so whatever your manufacturer has, it's probably going to be a pretty good dose. But have you been taking vitamin K2 for a while?
I have. I haven't been totally steady on it.
Well,
like it's important that I take it, though, with my vitamin D.
Well, you tell me, what do you think came first? Do you think that the Arthrotec was first and then your hands started to hurt?
I had some pain in my hand last year where one of my fingers would kind of click, kind of get stuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But really my hands weren't bothering me. It was my knees that I took the Arthrotec for.
Well,
but then when I quit taking it, my hands just went, it was like amazing that it just all went together.
Well, I might have to look into it, but most likely whatever happened was this affected your kidneys very adversely. That would be my guess.
Okay.
Or your liver. Take your choice. And so we may want to reverse that. And so some of the things you can do is you could just take plain Jane extra virgin olive oil, and you can rub that most aggressively. I know it doesn't feel great initially because your hands and fingers hurt. I really sympathize with you. But if you will just take your time and start massaging the olive oil into your fingers daily.
Mm-hmm.
Another remedy is just taking the juice of a lemon. So if you went out to eat, I mean, you don't even have to pay for the meal. Just go straight to the salad bar and grab a lemon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really joking about mm-hmm. that. You probably shouldn't do that. But if you start rubbing fresh lemon juice from maybe a wedge or a slice of lemon directly onto the painful area, the lemon juice itself can kind of act as a solvent. But I realize It's just very, very sticky. It's not easy to use. It's kind of messy. But it acts as a solvent. So you could try that. If I had a paraffin bath, I'd probably use castor oil instead of the mineral oil. So I might even dump the mineral oil and add the castor oil to see if I couldn't get a much, much better healing response for the hands.
Okay. And when you say the diet, like dairy, avoid dairy?
Well, the number one thing that I would find when somebody has arthritis is probably sugar consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not against sugar totally. For example, if you told me you wanted to eat strawberries for breakfast, I'd say great. If you said, what about a bowl of blueberries? That's great. I don't really have a problem with a little bit of sugar that's found in fruit. Even in some severe cases, I almost find it more advantageous to get those good nutrients from even a organic apple than I would be from avoiding the apple because of the sugar. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard to go wrong when you're trying to reverse arthritis to eat real food. The more real food that you eat, the greater the ability of the body to respond and to heal in
mm-hmm.
a lot of fashion.
I like eggs.
I don't really have a problem with those.
And how about cottage cheese?
Well, I think cottage cheese can be fabulous because the state in the United States that has by far and away the highest amount of arthritis would be Mississippi. They have the lowest sulfur content of any soil in the U.S., probably because of over-farming and non-carbon-based fertilizers or synthetic fertilizers and chemicals and whatnot. But the area that has the lowest arthritis rate in the U.S. is Oregon. They just happen to have the highest consumption of sulfur in the soil. And that's what cottage cheese represents. Cottage cheese is going to be a source of, it's a higher sulfur food. That means it's going to be very, very good. And the most potent antioxidants that your body produces to try to correct arthritis, like glutathione or alpha-lipoic acid, they're made from sulfur as part of the component. So if you were to take a spoonful of flaxseed oil that's high quality and mix it with your cottage cheese and maybe add some blueberries, man, I would say you'd have an award-winning breakfast.
And what oil did you say add to it?
Flaxseed oil.
Flaxseed.
And the flaxseed oil is going to act like an electron donor. That's probably more information than what you want to hear. I'm just going to suggest that there's good things between the sulfur and the flaxseed oil to help heal your body. Does
mm-hmm.
that sound good?
Yes.
Yay.
And then what about milk?
Well, I would probably break it down into two vague categories. Number one, there's pasteurized milk that's homogenized, and for all I know, that's got a lot of antibiotic residue in it and growth hormones and whatnot. And then there's raw milk. And if you can tolerate raw milk, I say go for it. It's just fine by me, in moderation.
Okay. And how about cheese, cheddar cheese?
Well, I would prefer the kind that's raw. So when you go to the store, look for raw cheddar cheese if you can find it.
Okay.
That way you preserve more of the nutrients.
Right.
But, you know, there's going to be some people that they just can't tolerate dairy products. So
you mean
probably,
like milk
yeah,
and cheese?
Yeah, probably because a person develops what's called a hyperpermeable gut or a leaky gut. So when they consume dairy products, if they've taken a drug like Arthrotec, probably because of the, I'm not blaming you, the doctor prescribed it, not you, but you're taking a drug that potentially could start to weaken and kind of beat up the lining of the gut. And your gut's supposed to be that selective permeable membrane. It's supposed to allow the good nutrients from the food and proteins and carbohydrates to pass through, but it's supposed to keep the bad toxic stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably what happened. The Arthrotec probably weakened the lining of your gut, so you probably have a little bit of a leaky gut.
What about taking aloe vera capsules as well as probiotics?
It can be fabulous. If you told me I have severe tummy pain or I have severe anxiety, it's coming from inside my chest, well, it wouldn't hurt to swallow a small shot glass of aloe vera juice to see if it gives you instant relief. And when I say instant, I mean within 2 minutes. Or if you start to see your fortunes change for the better within 2 minutes. And so if a person feels horrible and they take some aloe vera and drink it down and they feel better instantly, I think, okay, there's some inflammation in the gut. I think we just momentarily. But aloe vera is very, very good to heal the gut, or it can be. A lot of the best formulations that help rid the body of excess inflammation are based on aloe vera. But it doesn't, like, taste fabulous, probably.
No, it Now, but they have capsules, don't they?
Yeah. Well, you don't have to worry about taste then.
Right. It scared me.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Yes, I would like to see your arthritic pains go away in your hands, if that's possible, because you're a very young girl and you should heal.
Okay. All right. I certainly do. Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a wonderful new year, ma'am.
Uh-huh. And is it important to avoid gluten?
I think it is if a person has inflammation in the body.
Okay.
And that's kind of a long, drawn-out topic. Now, the part that I have to be honest about is I don't necessarily think that wheat is bad. But for some people, it ends up being quite pro-inflammatory or toxic. You've heard the phrase that one man's food is another man's poison?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true when it comes to modern wheat.
Okay.
The next time you're in the desert and you see Sarah standing in front of her tent with wheat bread, I think we should try it.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. All right. Do you mind if I cover one more tidbit of information? And this is going back to the idea of cancer, at least when I read this. And I want to do everything I can to share good information with you. And this is, we're going back to the topic of clove oil and cancer just for a moment. A potential drawback of people taking chemotherapeutic drugs for cancer is that they induce heart failure. This often leads to an oncologist approaching you saying, "We're very sorry, we have good news and bad news. The good news is the tumor shrunk. The bad news is your relative just died of heart failure." Well, no one wants to hear that. Well, they've shown that clove oil is very, very effective at blocking heart toxicity from chemotherapy drugs like Adriamycin. That comes from the Archives of Pharmacological Research 2011. That is, we could make a whole conversation on the program just about that right there. Now, I won't, but I want to at least tell you that. Number two. You know as well as I do that cancer is on the rise. It's on the increase. It just is. And there's a lot of research about cancer. I'm going to leave it up to you if that cancer research is completely misplaced and looking in the wrong direction or not. I'll let you decide and make up your own mind. But the most frequently altered gene in human cancers is the P53 tumor suppressor gene. You may not have heard of that, but at least I want to be the first one to tell you. It seems nearly impossible for a normal cell to become a malignant cancer cell unless the P53 gene is inactivated. That comes from nature.com. Well, eugenol, which is the active ingredient from clove oil, it induces what's called programmed cell death. That's called apoptosis. Even in cells lacking the active P53 tumor suppressor gene. That comes from the Asian Pacific Journal of Cancer and Prevention 2015. And that means this is new information. Apoptosis, which is just the natural programmed cell death, meaning the cell gets to the end of its lifetime and says, you need to die so you can be replaced by a healthy cell. Well, you want that to happen. You don't want cells to become immortal and live forever like cancer cells do. So apoptosis is the ideal way to quell cancer. So if you have cancer, what do you want? You want those cancer cells to do what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to obey the gene commands for them to die. Researchers now believe that clove seed extract should be explored as a cancer drug. That comes from the Pakistan Journal of Pharmaceutical Science, 2014. Another one from Cell Biology International, 2011. This is what it says. I'm just giving you the short and sweet of it. Clove oil's direct application in the digestive tract makes it a potential agent against colon cancer because of its ability to induce apoptosis. That means it tells cancer cells that are spreading to die. A recent published report says, and I quote, "The common treatment for cancer is unfavorable because I was on the wrong sheet of paper, sorry. The common treatment for cancer is unfavorable unfavorable because it causes many detrimental side effects. Duh. And lately, there has been growing resistance toward anti-cancer drugs, which worsens the future of cancer treatment. I know you've heard of antibiotic resistance. So the antibiotics such as penicillin, amoxicillin, Cipro, they used to work very effectively. Now they're losing their effectiveness to even kill infections. But have you heard that cancer cells are starting to develop resistance toward the chemotherapy? Have you heard that yet? I haven't heard about that talked about very much, but it's happening because the occurrence of cancer is exactly 3% more each year over the previous year. At least that's the averages of the last 30 years they've been doing cancer research, which means we, except for maybe a few childhood, cancers, there's really not much to talk about as far as effectiveness at treating cancer. Therefore, the focus has now shifted toward natural products to save the future of cancer treatment. Have you ever heard the phrase that prevention is better? Have you heard that before? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Well, one of the reasons why is because sometimes the cure is very toxic, and sometimes the cure is, well, it's almost always extremely expensive. It goes on to say here from the Asia Pacific Journal of Cancer Prevention 2011 that clove oil exhibits demonstrably better cancer inhibition than water or alcohol extracts. Clove oil was investigated and found to exhibit excellent ability to kill cancer cells. And researchers go on to say, and I quote, "Cloves are being hailed as the future of cancer treatment because of their ability to induce apoptosis and work in various types of cancer." That comes from Pharmacognosy Research. Sorry, I just butchered that. All right, I think I have the right buttons pushed. How are you today?
Just fine, Dr. Morgan. I'd like to ask you, if one had cancer, how would they take that clove oil?
Well, I think there's several ways. You can get the clove oil and you can put drops of it and you can just drink it down in a beverage of some kind. Now, it tastes very strong. I've tried taking it internally, which, you know, I must confess, I want to be the guinea pig before I ever ask anybody to be the guinea pig, but I don't think I've seen any negative effects from me taking clove oil internally.
I don't mind being the guinea pig.
You're such a good girl. But you can get it either in a gel cap form, a capsule form, or you could just make it yourself from cloves. I just wish I had some clove trees growing in my backyard, but I think they grow where it's hotter and more humid, like in Indonesia.
So if one used the drops of clove oil, how would they do that? Just...
Well, what I have read before, and you're going to have to forgive me, please. I wish I'd been able to confirm this and look it up and find out, because I have not. Because like anything else, I want to cover both sides of the equation. And it is possible to overdose on clove oil. I've never heard of that before, but they say it's possible. But they say that the normal amount is about, the acceptable amount is about 170 milligrams a day of clove oil. Anyway, about a half a teaspoon.
Okay.
But a lot of people just get it in the form of powder. And they might mix it into a protein, but it just tastes real strong. So this might be one application for making a beverage of some kind. Do you like to drink kombucha?
I've drank it years ago. I haven't lately.
Well, kombucha might be a really, really good substance to add a little bit of clove oil to, just kind of help, or herbal tea or something. If a person had cancer, I don't think I'd tell them to go ahead and get like a huge glass of apple or orange juice to take it down, but a couple of ounces of either apple or orange juice or grape juice might be just enough to kind of help doctor it up enough to where you can get it down.
Okay. What about, it wouldn't do to put it in lemon water, would it?
Of course you can. You can do whatever you want.
Okay, because I love lemon water. I drink it all
the
time.
No, I am crazy about lemon water. It just tastes so good, if you ask me.
Yes, I love it. Okay, and just a couple of ounces?
Yeah, mm-hmm, sure.
Already.
I mean, you can experiment and find out what can I tolerate. Now, I'm just going to tell you what I think, and this is just the short and sweet of it. Obviously, I don't crave clove oil. I don't fantasize about night when I'm in bed. I don't sit down at the table and think, hey, I want to sprinkle some clove oil on my food. I never have done that before. But it's going to be in the category of, this is something that has tremendous potential to be so good for us. And I really like the idea of improving ourselves, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Because I haven't reached perfection yet. And we're living in a toxic, fallen world. And so every one of us would do very, very well to try to take good care of ourselves and try to improve ourselves. So, yeah, yes. Clove oil.
When do you think would be the best time of day to do this? On an empty stomach or, you know?
You know what? I would be, because clove oil routinely is added to food to act as a preservative, so it's perfectly fine if you take it with food. Okay. And I know in the laboratory settings, when they give it to mice, they just add it to food, so the mice have no choice, but they have to eat it. If they're going to eat food, there's going to be clove oil in it.
Okay.
I mean, that's quite often what they do. Purina rat chow in the laboratory, they probably add antibiotics to it so they can test antibiotics. The rat has no choice. If it's going to eat, it's going to be eating antibiotics with the rat chow.
Yes.
So food is just fine.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Morgan.
Yes,
I sure do appreciate your program.
Well, I hope you like the information today.
I did. I always write it down.
Oh, do you
really? I got
a
book that I write all your notes in. And yes, got a whole page clove oil.
Yeah, I know. I've kind of gone overboard, but I think it's such a good information. Thanks.
No, you don't go overboard. You're doing great.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I hope this year just leads to tremendous healing for you.
Yes, sir. I do believe it will.
And I pray the Lord blesses you and your family.
Bless you too, Dr. Moore.
Thank you very much, ma'am. I appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Clove oil was investigated and found to exhibit excellent ability to kill cancer cells. Researchers say, and I'm quoting, cloves are being hailed as the future of cancer treatment because of their ability to induce apoptosis, that's cell death, and work in various types of cancer. And that's pretty strong talk when you have researchers saying stuff like that, because they don't say stuff like that. They don't. But they know the writing is on the wall. And the writing is on the wall. It's that chemotherapy is failing to provide a cure for cancer. Isn't that interesting? Let me see, I had just one little, this one, I have maybe a minute left, so let me have a go at this. All right. Actually, I don't even think I have a minute left. Well, rats. Let me make this real fast. They have a score called the ORAC score, O-R-A-C, that stands for Oxygen Radical Absorbance Capacity. It's just a way to measure the antioxidant content. Turmeric, awesome antioxidant. Its ORAC score is 5,083. Cinnamon, awesome, 5,257. Rosemary, 6,600. You know what clove is? It's the top of all of them. None are higher. 11,611.
Healthy Essentials with Dr. Roy Morgan of Jacksonville is sponsored by Mary Alice Largent with Landmark Realty in downtown Palestine, serving Anderson and surrounding counties. Thanks to Mary Alice Largent for her